Well, I don't necessarily think you go in an opposite direction. You've invested a lot of time, but there has to be changes, whether it's play design, personnel, everything's on the table, let's call it, right? And those are all things that we have to, I have to look at, we have to look at as a staff and make the adjustments.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is Doug Peterson. He is a Super Bowl winning coach who sounds like a defeated man after seeing his team, his quarterback, get manhandled by Buffalo yesterday. They got beaten badly.
That was a bad game, 47-10.
Yeah, and that wasn't that close.
That is what a coach sounds like when he's not encouraged by a loss. Okay, that's what a coach uh-huh. sounds like when he is defeated in more ways than one.
Yeah,
and he knows he's probably staring at his coaching mortality, and he's got a quarterback that is in a funk big time in Trevor Lawrence. So we saw both ends of the extreme, I think, both sides of it last night in terms of, boy, you've got the Jaguars who were lost and the Bills who were rolling in that game, and then the other game that I think captured a lot of Chicago's imagination or attention. Yeah, the Washington Commanders beating the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati.
Yes.
Going on the road with a rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels doing the special, as Ryan Poles might say. 21-23, he threw two touchdown passes, his first two of his career. One, the first one, tackle eligible call. Great offensive design there, Cliff Kingsbury. And I think you look at what the Commanders did with Jaden Daniels, and obviously you're comparing it and contrasting it with what the Bears are unable to do offensively with their scheme. And certainly right now, three games into their respective NFL careers, the number two overall pick in last year's NFL draft is outplaying the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels greater than Caleb Williams three games in. I don't know if it's going to stay that way, but it is worth watching. It is certainly worth discussing. And I think that he entered a situation that was, even though all the conversation was Caleb was coming into a great situation conducive to winning, Jaden Daniels is having fun. And he's in a right spot. He's got an offensive line protecting him. He's got receivers making his throws come down as completions. And he's got a running game to lean on.
And Big Z did tell us earlier this morning that Cliff Kingsbury did interview with the Bears for the OC job, but the Bears have claimed that was more of a informational interview regarding the quarterback Caleb Williams.
Well, then shame on them.
Well, there you go. But according to Dustin's research, these are the guys that did interview for the opening with the Chicago Bears. There was Thomas Brown, the Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, the former Ravens offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, the man who got the job, Clint Kubiak, who was then with San Francisco as their passing game coordinator, and Greg Olson. Ole had been here before, the former Seahawks quarterbacks coach.
Right. Well, it's working. It's working in Washington.
Yes.
They should have talked to him about more than Caleb Williams' personality traits and past.
And listen, Clint Kubiak is working too.
Yeah, right? He is. He's working well. I look at that as maybe less sustainable than what's going on in Washington.
Okay.
But
that's fair.
Well, this is an ongoing conversation. And the apples to apples comparison people will want to make is quarterback to quarterback. And I think Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, you're going to spend their entire careers maybe being compared to each other. I think this, both guys can have Pro Bowl caliber careers. I don't know if this is Burrow, Mahomes. I don't know if it's Brady, Manning. I don't know what rivalry, if you want to call it that, will evolve or develop. But we do have a situation where the term generational talent is thrown around loosely. We have done it ourselves.
Yes.
Caleb Williams can still be great in Chicago. I believe that firmly after Sunday, even though it's not the start that anybody envisioned, and certainly needs to protect the football better than he has. And I think Jaden Daniels is off to a start that suggests he's going to be great as well. Both guys can be great, and comparing them throughout the course of their careers is going to be fun, but I don't look at this as the one that got away.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I don't look at it that way.
I'm not declaring that it won't be that way, Molly. I'm just saying that I don't think it will go that way.
Right, and I'm on board with what? What are you laughing at?
Well, the sky could fall.
No, listen.
It could go.
I am more than happy to give the Bears time, to give Caleb Williams all the time he could want, and I think that we're seeing hints that things could be okay. We've seen some flashes already, and hopefully that improves. There are a lot of different things that you worry about, that you notice. Whenever Roma Dunze is open, I'm going to be looking for him. Yeah, you know, that's okay, but maybe don't say that in front of DJ Moore. Maybe you're saying that to let DJ Moore know you're going to make skunky face at me. I'm going to throw the ball to him. And should Keenan Allen play, remember, he's the guy that doesn't have the money, that doesn't have the future guaranteed, that probably needs the ball and is a third down machine. I'm not saying any of this stuff is going to be a problem. I'm just saying these are things that are setting up if the Bears continue to lose.
I would file what you just said, as eloquently as you said it, though, I would file that under noise.
Okay.
Noise.
I like to make noise.
You need to ignore the noise if you're Caleb Williams and the Bears, though, right? You need to stop worrying about whether or not who's getting the ball and who's open. You know what you got to worry about?
Yeah.
What Dave wants to sit here and said,
okay,
go out and learn how to run the football.
Let's talk about noise.
Let's talk about noise. Okay.
What about the coach saying he's encouraged after getting your rear end handed to you?
I mean, it's Charlie
noise.
Brown's teacher.
Okay.
I don't want to hear it.
Oh, you can't hear it. All you hear is what you want to hear. What about when the guy talks about being proud of Velus Jones after week one? What about when the guy talks about the way the locker room handled the victory? What about Dave was telling us that they interviewed Jervon Dexter or Jeff Joniak did on the Marquee Network after the game. And Jervon Dexter was kind of getting goofy, was kind of happy. After the loss.
Because he was playing against his high school or middle school teammate.
And his college
teammate. Anthony Richardson, yeah.
Regardless.
Okay. You're just saying.
Noise. It's all noise. We're throwing it all out because it's noise. The running play that failed miserably on fourth. Well,
there's different levels of noise, though. There's different levels of noise. I think the kind of noise that you want to ignore are the kind of things that relate to dissension that may or may not be there, things that might be created situations. The kind of noise that you want to maybe zero in on and make sure that it's not just noise. The tone that is set by the head coach matters.
It does.
It's got to matter.
And you can't just say it's noise.
So it's the stuff with Caleb Williams and the receivers, I think that is something that doesn't necessarily exist, and that could qualify as the kind of noise I'm talking about. And you know it too.
Yeah.
And I think that if you want to look at Matt Eberflus,
it's a problem.
And you want to conclude after three games that a season that began with such high expectations requires and demands the head coach to amplify something that makes clear where the standards are. You're right, and that's valid. I don't think he's done a good job of that.
No.
I think he's fallen short of that.
And you know who else hasn't? The offensive coordinator. We talked about it last week. I don't know. I cannot follow the plot with this guy. He is not a clear-speaking man.
Well, you could get away with that if your schemes are designed in such a way that you are outsmarting your opponent. Then I don't care how he sounds. I like the way his offense looks. With the offensive coordinator, it's, I think, a lesser there's less focus on what he says on a week-to-week basis. Your head coach sets the tone each and every time he opens his mouth, and he does that on a daily basis during the NFL season. And Matt Eberflus needs to project a stronger message that certain things are accepted and certain things aren't. He had his Hard Knocks honeymoon. It was great, all right? But it's over. And he needs to be a football coach that talks a little tougher and demands a little more.
Yeah, or he's not going to be a football coach.
Or he's not going to be a coach. And because you heard Matt, you heard Mike Florio. Three losses, you know, you say it. You're three losses away from prosperity or disaster in
that's
the NFL.
That's exactly true. It's exactly true.
And this could be the third straight loss Sunday.
Well, they got two in a row. They better win on Sunday.
Or else.
And I think that they become the desperate team this week.
I think they are the desperate team this
week.
And
with
if they lose three in a row, that noise, it's going to be people clamoring for a coaching change.
Well, listen.
I'm not saying they're going to do that in season. I think they've never done it in season.
They've never done it.
But you know how it works in NFL cities. We've been around long enough to know how it works in Chicago.
We have seen Matt Eberflus go from a guy who didn't deserve the job he had and why is this guy the coach to a guy that took over the defense last year. They got better and everyone's like, wow, you know, he's shown me some things. He's done pretty well. And then you get to the offseason and it's, well, he's shown enough, so let's keep him. But we're firing all the offensive coaches except for Chris Morgan, who gets a nice promotion. And then you move forward, and now here we are again. And Matt is on the negative side of the ledger right now through 3 weeks. And it's dangerous because he's saying the wrong stuff.
He is.
When he's trying to communicate.
He can turn it around.
He can easily turn it around.
But
you know how you turn it around?
How?
You win.
How do you win?
And then no one, you win.
How do you win?
Well,
you demand things from your team.
You don't give your players a pass
by saying that you were encouraged by one of the worst losses you could have imagined this year.
Yes.
You're not going to play many teams worse than the Colts were on Sunday. They gave you an opportunity to seize that game, and you've passed. You said, no, not today, no thank you.
And I think that by the end of the season, we'll have a very good feeling one way or another how you want to go. Things could work out great. Things could get steady, and everything could be. This is sort of the build-up portion of the season where you're getting ready to eventually start playing in your division.
This is a soft portion of the schedule. You need to win these games that are there.
It needs to
for
go better.
The taking. It needs to go better.
And you need to be better to
no
get it.
No doubt
there.
About it. Can I share with you a stat that tells you just
please.
How special Jaden Daniels' first three games have been?
Please.
This is from CBS Sports this morning. Eric Kay is at EKCBS, tweeted this. All right, Jaden Daniels has had two career NFL games out of three where his team has scored on every drive, including excluding kneel downs.
No punts.
Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and Patrick Mahomes combined to do that twice in their entire careers, including the playoffs. That's 1,094 combined starts. Jaden Daniels has done that twice in three games.
And the Bears play him later on in the year.
They do. That's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah.
I wonder what we'll be saying. That's where your rivalry will be.
I'm very curious as to what we'll be saying.
At that point in time, between the two rookie quarterbacks.
Pity Jaden Daniels got hurt.
I'm just joking. Wow, that's terrible.
That's just mean.
No, the sky really is falling.
Corey is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Corey.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, last night, nightmare scenario, but my biggest takeaway, look, the Bears had an ideal all along they were taking Caleb. They completely passed on Cliff Kingsbury, who was his offensive coordinator. And I get he didn't call plays at USC, but there was a familiarity there. Now we see some success with Jaden early on. What is going through Caleb's mind watching that? And what is his thought about the Bears organization knowing that they went in a different direction?
Well, it's a fair question. I don't think it's relevant because it can't matter. I mean, he's naturally going to wonder these things. I imagine with Cliff Kingsbury, if he had a relationship that he cared about, he's going to be happy for him and maybe wondering how they would have worked together in Chicago. But you can't get caught up on that if you're Caleb Williams. You've got so many other things swirling in your head to worry about that can't be a priority.
Let's try Bobby. He's in Naperville. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I want to talk about this idea, and Mully, you kind of brought it up earlier in the show, and David, you keep harping on it, this idea of faith in football. Like, you have to have faith and you have to believe. It's not religion, man. All you got to do is see what you're seeing. And let me give you an example, right? Like, all off season, David, you were leading the charge, right, that you did not believe Justin Fields would ever be a good pocket passer. I don't know if he is or if he isn't or if he will be. I don't know. But all I know is that idea blinded you to the fact that he is the biggest double threat in football. I mean, there is nobody that – there is no defensive coordinator's bigger nightmare than Justin Fields. So now we're on this whole idea that, whoa, Caleb, don't worry about what he's doing or don't worry about his play. You had to watch that game last night for about 10 seconds to see the difference between Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. But we're going to keep blaming it on something else, right? So we're going to fire the whole coaching staff, bring in another coaching staff, and let me tell you, when they bring in Lincoln Riley, every Bears fan should be unbelievably – it's about to be a disaster because his offense is crap. It doesn't work. NFL will eat it up. So the idea of having faith in football is just goofy. Just see what you're
I don't think I ever use the word
honest.
Faith, but appreciate your phone call and perspective. I don't
believe
think
in
said,
faith.
I think I talked about belief in
– Yeah, I don't know.
A message.
Yeah.
The tone a head coach can set. I was a believer in Caleb Williams coming to Chicago, and I still am.
Yeah, that's okay.
I have faith in Caleb Williams.
You can believe.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what offended him about belief.
That's okay. Everybody, you know, you hear things and you interpret them a certain way. He's entitled to that opinion. He could be outraged. Look, there's a lot of fed up Bears fans across Bear Nation, all over the country today, this week.
Okay.
I would be ticked off too. If I saw your team squander an opportunity like they did Sunday in Indianapolis, I'd be in a bad mood for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It was not good. It was not a good thing, predictable as it may have been.
Should I say don't lose faith?
Be careful. Careful. You don't want to upset people. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Now, Justin Fields, I'm talking to you, Chicago Bears fans. I am talking to you, okay? The Bears might be second-guessing trading Justin Fields. Look at what he has done through three games with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's one of four quarterbacks right now that are undefeated. You look at what he's doing. He is taking a very bad offensive line in Pittsburgh, and he's helping them out. He has 90 rushing yards through three games. Look at the other side of the spectrum. Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams. DeAndre Swift, their starting running back, has 70 rushing yards through three games. Caleb Williams is not helping out that horrible offensive line. You continue what you're doing, Justin. I've always believed in you. There's people on this set, they don't believe you. There's people in the world that don't believe in you. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep stacking days. You're going to come out on top.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Chase Daniels. He was on FS1, The Faculty, and he was talking about the Bears maybe second-guessing the trade they made when they gave away. They gave him away.
I think Justin two things Fields. Can be true. They didn't get as much as you wanted them to get in return.
Got nothing.
There'll likely be a fourth-round draft pick from the Steelers if he plays more than 50% of the snaps. It appears he will. I'm surprised that Chase Daniel would sound as definitive as he sounded on FS1 three games into a season. Very difficult to draw any hard and fast conclusions, even though we're led in that direction. A lot of people in Chicago should be happy for Justin Fields for finding a way to maximize his talents. He's being coached very well. Arthur Smith's using him to... He's playing to his strengths, and he's making limited – he hasn't really turned the football over. He's running the football, and the Steelers are 3-0. I still think the Bears did the right thing in moving on. I know people won't be surprised by that. It's too early to say anything definitive about really any of the quarterbacks that are going, but it is a fun conversation.
At this point is the offensive rookie of the year?
Jaden Daniels. Okay,
I've just have a why? Why does everyone have
Jaden Daniels is a runaway early favorite for the offensive rookie of the year? Chase Daniel is a believer that the Bears made a mistake in getting rid of Justin Fields and going for Caleb Williams. I think had they done that, Caleb Williams would have gone somewhere else, and we'd been wondering if they had the right guy. Who knows what the situation would be? Bottom line is, Jaden Daniels can be special in Washington. Caleb Williams can be special in Chicago. And both guys can thrive and be the franchise quarterbacks that both the respective franchises needed them to be.
And then we got a texter saying, how can you say that Chase Daniels is making assumptions after three games when you're second-guessing everything this morning? We're not second-guessing everything this morning. We are reacting to what happened yesterday night. And we're talking about how it impacts everything that's going on in our town. That's it. We're not. Listen, no one has concluded that Caleb Williams is not the man.
That's what we're saying. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
We're talking about you have to voice and, I guess, caution people against having and drawing hard and fast conclusions. But to express that, you have to say that. That's what we're saying. That's what you do on a talk show.
Thank you, buddy.
Just saying.
No, you know what else you do on a talk show? If your name is Mully, you do a lot of rain dance.
Well,
kind of keep it going.
Yeah.
I've been rain dancing during breaks.
I know you have been.
Rain dancing now.
I wish that was on Twitch.
And
we should do your rain dance on Twitch.
Uh-huh.
That would be a lot of fun. You know what? It's working because it looks a little bleak outside.
That's good to hear.
Isn't it a little bleak? So I think that you are doing what you can to get the White Sox to cancel tonight's festivities.
Yeah, everybody's all over this story like it's a story. The White Sox are finally going to lose. Dustin is just the happiest man in America because it's not the Cubs. And once he's so bitter about the Cubs not making the playoffs that he tried to go after Craig Counsell. We wouldn't allow it. And now he's going after the White Sox. And hopefully the weather won't allow it.
I'll push back a little bit there. You don't really have to go after the White Sox. They do. They've done a nice job all season of bringing attention, unwanted attention, onto themselves.
Huh?
And tonight is the latest example. It is a national story for the national pastime when a team is on the verge of doing what the White Sox are on the verge of doing.
What if they rain out the rest of the year?
Then you're going to do a rain dance every day? I'm worried about your back if that happens.
No. I've got my guy Mylan helping me out. I'm good.
Are you going on your bike today?
It depends on how much dancing I got to do.
Why would you worry about a little rain getting in the way of your cycling activity?
Mainly for fear of going arse over tea kettle.
Sometimes there's nothing better. A little jog in the rain. I like going running in the rain.
Maybe getting hit by a car would get in the way of my bicycling activity.
That would get in the way.
A little bit.
Sox tonight, Jonathan Cannon at home against the Angels. If they lose, it will be their 121st loss.
Yes.
And it is a national story. There will be national coverage. The Wall Street Journal even weighed in this morning. And they quoted Ronaldo Lopez saying that this 162-game season probably feels like 500 games to the players in that clubhouse.
Oh, nice. Nice.
He's probably right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely right because it's been a long slog.
He's one of the guys.
He got away.
Yeah.
He's got a T-shirt. I escaped.
Yeah, all right. We got Culp. He's in Chicago. Hey, Culp.
Hey, guys. First thing first, just responding to what you were talking to. As a Cub fan, no one cares about what happens to the White Sox. This season with the Cubs is a total failure.
So. Yeah, no, only Dustin. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, no, I know. Otherwise, going back to Caleb Williams, I mean, at what point are Bears fans just are going to understand, no matter who the quarterback is of the Chicago Bears, it is never going to work. Never. I don't care if they drafted Tom Brady, DJ Stroud. Those guys would be in the same boat.
They're just
nothing
cursed.
Matters.
Is that what you're saying?
Listen, if Caleb Williams was the starter for the Green Bay Packers the last 2 weeks, he would be looked at the same way that Malik Willis looked at. The Bears have never had success with a quarterback. They never will. And with that said, go Pack, go.
All right.
So
thanks for the phone call.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's a Packer fan rubbing it in.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he left that for the end.
He's a Chicagoan.
Yeah, he's a Packer fan.
Listen, I mean,
it's a cynical approach.
I would like to believe that
nothing's changed about the overall overarching reason.
If Caleb Williams was replacing Jordan Love, he'd be a lot better than Malik Willis.
Malik Willis has been very good. I mean, again, but that also goes to the broader point here. This is week three. We're three games into Caleb Williams' NFL career. He was drafted not to necessarily change things immediately, even though I think he's capable of doing that. I still think the Bears are capable of having a winning season in his rookie year. But he was drafted number one overall because not where his floor is, it's where his ceiling is.
Can you help me? how often this year have the Bears been leading? Because it felt like last week they didn't lead at all. I know they ran tons of plays, but they were not leading very often. They had to come from behind to win.
They didn't lead in that game. They were down 7-0.
Yeah.
Then they never led. They never led in Sunday's game.
And did they lead much against Houston? Doesn't feel like they led in that game much. I'm just saying.
What's your point?
My point is that the way the Bears want to win is to get ahead and then unleash the defense. And instead, we've seen a team that's trying to throw from behind.
Well,
and their defense has been unleashed.
Your point is I think connected to this idea of the question of the week. What is the Bears' identity? It's a question every team and every fan base and every media corps asks of their NFL teams early in the season. The Bears' identity right now is they clearly are a finesse team. They want to throw the ball around, but I would caution them. I would caution them from doing what they did on Sunday in Indianapolis because Brad Biggs, with the stat of the day, should we give an award to Biggsy? Is it sponsored? Whatever.
Let's give that stat.
The stat of the day.
This is the
teams that have thrown 50 or more passes in a game since 2015 in regulation.
And it is 2024 now.
So it's about a decade. Let's look at about a decade of work. A big body of work, not a small sample size. Teams that have thrown 50 or more passes in a game are 23-141. 23-141. If you think the White Sox record is bad, that record is worse.
Well, there is a Mike Jordan involved in it.
What?
23.
Oh, I didn't know what you meant there. But there's nothing magical about that number. It tells you that if you are heading down that road,
Other than Mike, it was pretty magical.
Yeah, if you're heading down that path.
Stop yourself. Run the damn ball.
Get a grip.
Get a chance to win.
Run the ball. Yeah. Commit to the run. Stop being the guy that is trying to prove something about how smart you are schematically. Take the gimme. Hand the ball off. It's football. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't make it a game of chess when you can play checkers.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to line it up, put your hand in the dirt, as they say, and get the tough yard. Establish the run. So that's what will help Caleb Williams develop in the kind of quarterback the Bears need him to be, and so he can catch up to Jaden Daniels. Because right now, Jaden Daniels not only is playing the best ball among rookie quarterbacks, but he's playing as well as any quarterback in the National Football League.
So you've got him for MVP. Not rookie.
Well, look, three weeks into the season, tell me a quarterback that's playing at a higher level than Jaden Daniels right now after last night.
The guy with all the Super Bowl rings.
Yeah, okay.
Whoever he is. He does pretty well every week.
I don't want to exaggerate because then it makes it easier for people to poke holes in something. I think it's enough to say he's playing at the highest level of any quarterback, who's any rookie quarterback, and he's got that Washington team looking like they have turned the corner.
He could have saved you a fourth-round pick is what you're trying to say.
Stop putting words in my mouth. Stop.
Oh, no. Listen, here's the thing. The Bears are going to be okay. Just calm down. Or they're going to lose on Sunday, and it's going to be yet another one of these 0-for-2 teams that are just going to keep picking them off. Well, either thing could happen.
And apologies to Josh Allen. He's probably having a better year than Jaden Daniels. He's on an MVP type of path.
What did he do? He led him in passing and rushing. What's that?
He's playing at a very high level. Good. Yeah, he's pretty good. So it's a tough situation, a tough week for the Bears.
Yeah,
but it's one of those games that we talked about last week, feeling like they had to win that game because of the schedule. If the Rams come in as compromised as they are, as injured and banged up as they are,
well, they're not getting any of those guys back.
And also, it's a noon kickoff. I know it's the NFL.
That means it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Their body clocks
West Coast time.
Yeah. Are going to be messed up.
They'll be looking for a cup of coffee while they're getting knocked on their tails.
Well, we know a lot of people can get Sean McVay coffee, yeah. And everyone who does gets a job.
Anybody who gets some coffee becomes an offensive coordinator.
So, is this also Shane Waldron? He worked for McVay,
yes,
didn't he?
Got him coffee once.
So, is this the Shane Waldron revenge game? Let's hope he represents himself better than he did Sunday in Indy.
Let's hope it's the Shane Waldron run game. Run the ball.
Run the ball. Yeah, take the gimme, run the ball, run downhill, and get your offensive line to respond. All right, right now, enough football talk. You can be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, 312-540-0670, and you can win a pair of tickets to see Thomas Rhett with special guests Tucker Wetmore and Dasha Better in Boots Tour Saturday, August 9th, 2025, Alpine Valley Music Theater in East Troy, Wisconsin, 312-540-0670. Hey, tomorrow's a basketball show.
Tomorrow is this is the show. This is going to be the one they remember.
Well, we're going to talk Bears. We're going to talk White Sox. We'll talk Cubs. We'll talk football, but we will have special basketball guests.
Tune in tomorrow from 5:30 to 10. That's when we're on. And the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage will be our home. We'll be joined by Billy Donovan and Arturis Karnachovas. They of the Bulls will be joining us during the 8 o'clock hour, and it's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all, and by Schmaltz Deli, spreading deli goodness everywhere. So we'll be talking to Billy and AK, Billy and the boss, and we'll be having some coffee and some refreshing treats from the fine folks at Schmaltz Deli. And we will, I think KC's going to be here.
Casey Johnson's going to be here.
We'll talk to Casey at some point.
Bulls we've Insider.
We've got some regulars that we will get to, so we're not going to forget the Bears. But we will have an hour with Bulls Preview. We'll talk about all the significant stories from the offseason and kind of attempt to figure out how good they could be moving forward, Mr. David.
No doubt about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's rare that we get an opportunity to talk to Billy Donovan and AK at the same time, so that'll be a good dynamic. And then, let's face it, it's right around the corner. The Bulls start next week. The Hawks are already in camp, and the winter tenants of the United Center have arrived.
And, I mean, think about it. You know, Billy was a great player back in the day. AK played in Lithuania. He's a guy that played good college ball. You're from Indiana. We got a lot of basketball stuff.
I'm from Indiana. That's my basketball credentials.
I threw you in with them.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I am. I'm from Indiana. I'll hit you. I may be able to hit a three every now and then.
See, if we go 2-on-2 against them, I'm definitely the guy bringing us down, which is sad.
Well, that means I get to take every shot, so that's not so bad.
Oh, boy. Has a fist fight ever broken out between two guys in a 2-on-2 game? Quit shooting. All right. We've got Dan and I believe Kevin Fishbane is
the
here.
Illinois Kevin Sports Writer of the Year is in our building.
A Wildcat, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
we'll get
he is.
A chance to talk to him next, and it's Mully and Haw on the Score.